Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
447 on 720 WGN, Phil Minicky for Dave Plyer. We stick with the podcast theme. The podcast is called If the Walls Could Talk, and you have to listen to this. Joining us right now, Todd Ganz and Stephanie Young. Thank you for joining us, guys. How are you doing?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Tell me about this podcast. I am such a history geek, and when you guys told me you were doing this, I'm like,
I think it's one of those stories that's kind of been forgotten in Chicago history. I mean, there's the big stories, the fire, and, you know, more recently all the sports stuff and the flooding downtown in the 90s. But meanwhile, there was this giant hospital in Chicago's Edgewater Hospital that kind of sat here and did its thing for about 50 years. It was just like the premier hospital for a long time. In fact, if you look at it from its exterior, it was designed to look and actually run like a hotel. So you would walk in, imagine doing this today, walking into your hospital or your doctor's office, and there's a bellhop there who takes, you know, you upstairs, or if you have bags, they would carry them. And it's completely unlike what you would expect from a hospital today.
Right. It opened in 1929, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So this was just before the Great Depression. So, there was a lot working against it in the early days.
But there are pictures on your website and your page about the whole story of it. And Stephanie, there was a pool there?
There was a pool. So there was a nurse's residence, and they were like little apartments that the nurses could rent. They were studio apartments. And they would just live in those and then work in the hospital next door. And on top of that nurse's residence, there was a pool. And the nurses that lived there were able to use that pool for exercising, parties, hanging out, whatever.
That's amazing. This was state of the art at the time, right? It was incredible.
Yeah, and if you think about it, all this was done. It was kind of innovative because there were nursing shortages in the 50s and 60s, so the hospital decided to import these nurses and then built these nurses' residences for them to live. So it had that. It was the first to have a hyperbaric chamber, which Stephanie can speak to because it was featured in Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
Yeah, in the last season of Grey's Anatomy, they had a lot of different scenes at the hyperbaric chamber. So if you didn't know what it was before Edgewater Hospital, if you watch Grey's Anatomy, you know what it is now.
There you go. I don't watch Grey's Anatomy. I'm sorry. What is that?
It is a chamber where they can help you with the pressurization. So like a lot of people that get the bends from scuba diving, the blood oxygen level
changes.
So they put them in the hyperbaric chamber, and it helps with a lot of different things too, like different diseases and breathing treatments, respiratory issues. They can just put people in this chamber and it takes them down to like a certain depth, and the oxygen in their blood will replenish.
Wow. And this was, when did this come about? When did they have it at Edgewater?
So the chamber went in sometime in the 60s and was used up until the hospital closed 2001. In fact, the 1990s Chicago Bulls teams, the dynasty, a lot of them, if they had injuries, they would send them over to the hospital and they would be treated there.
Wow. How did you guys get involved with this? What made you say this story needs to be told? And first of all, thank you for doing it. You guys do such an incredible job with this. How did you get involved?
I think the story has three parts. There were the good years, the years we kind of talked about, the first 50, where it was kind of the Northwestern or the rush of Chicago medicine. It was, you know, the leader here in Chicago. And then came kind of a weird year where it changed management. And at that point, they were just trying to keep the doors open. And what they did was do just about anything to fill up their hospital beds. And that's when things there really got bad. And that part of the story was intriguing, as was the history. But then the hospital closed 2001 and just sat there. And I'm talking about 15, 16 years of just this nine-building campus sitting idle at the end of a street here in Edgewater where I live. So it certainly caught my attention when I moved up here. And I thought this hospital was just maybe closed the day I walked by it when I first moved up here, and later found out, no, it actually had been closed for a long time. And there were some scandals and a lot of fraud that happened that caused it to close. So it really was just curiosity and almost a lack of stories, because this all kind of happened right after 9/11. So it was really buried in the news here in Chicago. So There wasn't a ton reported about it. So once we started to dig a little deeper and find people who did write about it or who did work there, it led to just, oh, you got to talk to this person, or don't forget to talk to that person. And it really began probably a 2-year process of us just talking and interviewing people.
And Stephanie, it just grew and grew where you, as Todd just mentioned, you had to keep the story going because there were like more rooms and another door open. And it's like, oh, what about this, right?
Exactly. So when we started the project, we were actually sitting at a bar across the street having a drink, and Todd was saying, you know, I really wish we could have done a documentary or something like that about this hospital, because by that point we'd done a little bit of research on it and thought the story was just so crazy. And, you know, he was like, I didn't really have enough video footage for something to do a documentary. And I looked at him and I said, well, why don't we do a podcast? So that's kind of where the idea was born. And from there, we thought it was just going to be like a short 5-6 episode series. And as we started doing more and more research, and like Todd mentioned, we talked to more and more people, and they were like, well, you need to talk to this person and this person. And we were in Facebook groups posting, like, did anybody work at Edgewater? And we'd find people to talk to from there, and then they would suggest other people. So all in all, we probably interviewed well over 100 people for this project. And every time we interviewed somebody, they suggested someone else. So we just kept going and kept going. And there were a few times where we interviewed people and the course of the whole podcast changed. Like, their story was so impactful that it kind of went a different direction than what we were going to do. And then we ended up with an 11-episode series with a couple bonus episodes thrown in.
Right. We're talking with Todd Ganz and Stephanie Young. If the Walls Could Talk is the podcast. Yeah, and every episode, there's a new door that opened up. Let's talk a little bit more about the beginning when it was thriving. It was state-of-the-art. There were other hospitals in Chicago at the time, but this was kind of the jewel, right?
Yeah. If you go back to its origins, it was just this little, like, square-looking building on the corner of Edgewater and Ashland and Hollywood Avenues here. And it just looked like a hotel, and that's what the co-founder wanted the vibe to be. It was supposed to be a place you went to relax. In fact, they had private rooms in the hotel, it's catching me too, in the hospital, which was run like a hotel, so that if you wanted to get away for a while, you could just check in. And these rooms had views of the city and had like ornate dining sets and teapots. In fact, we even located some of these on eBay, so we found some of this old china. But it had that sort of stuff and that sort of vibe to it, where it was like, it was a place you could go to even if you weren't sick. And what's kind of scary is that when the hospital went down the wrong path, that was kind of what was going on there. They were looking for people who weren't sick and doing things on them that they didn't need done.
It was definitely a different day. I mean, you look at healthcare nowadays and what it's all about. And then, you know, to get away, to go to a hospital. Wow, it was that cool, though. Unbelievable.
And its location to the Edgewater Beach Hotel, which was less than a mile away. I mean, back, you know, the 20s, 30s, 40s, even in the 50s and 60s, it was the place where Hollywood all came to play and hang out, and where people had their honeymoons, and there were proms there all the time. So all these celebs would hang out with the guy who ran Edgewater Hospital. His name was Dr. Maurice Maisel, and he kind of became their doctor. So there were stories we uncovered of Sinatra was in town, and he had a sore throat. And so he called up and said, like, what can you do? You know, I'm not feeling well. And there were stories of Jimmy Stewart, him and his wife, who hung out at the hospital, and Dr. Maisel was his doctor. So kind of the old school Hollywood actors, they kind of went there as well, sometimes to get away and other times to seek treatment.
Wow. We have to talk more about that. Can you guys hang out for a little bit longer? Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do that. We're going to take a quick break and then more with Todd Ganz and Stephanie Young, If the Walls Could Talk podcast. You guys hold on, okay?
Sure.
All right, we're going to check in with the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here at 720 WGN. 10 minutes past 5 on 720 WGN, filmmaking for Dave Plyer, back with Todd Ganz and Stephanie Young. The podcast is If the Walls Could Talk, and we're talking about well-known people who were born at Edgewater Hospital, right?
And quite the different ends of the spectrum. We've got Hillary Rodham Clinton and John Wayne Gacy Jr.
Wow. Now, I saw one of your pictures. You guys have incredible pictures. There's something written on the wall about Gacy, right?
One of my favorite things about this project was speaking with the urban explorers. And those are the folks that, after the building closed, went in and took photographs and kind of explored this abandoned place. I mean, for lack of a better term, it was breaking in, but that's besides the point. They took all of these great photos of what was left. They took all of these great photos of what was left behind there. And there was something written about John Wayne Gacy on the wall. This was the floor where he was born, and some choice words after that, but you can check it out on our Instagram page. I do have the photo posted there and on our website.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away, but it's not as chilling as what happened, but it's, you know. So you both did a ton of research on this. How long did this take?
I would say we started well over 2 years ago, 2019, and we really kicked things into high gear last year when everything kind of shut down and we both lost our jobs.
Me too.
And suddenly some free time. And you too, Phil.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I didn't do half as cool as you guys did with this podcast, but I digress. So it took a lot of time.
Yeah. I would say for a long time, we were doing this after our full-time job. So we would schedule interviews, you know, one or two nights a week. So
right.
We'd do a regular job and stay until 9, 10 o'clock at night interviewing people. And we would come home, and it was like the stories we had heard and the feelings and the emotions that were just so fresh in these people's minds, even though it was nearly 20 years later, just kind of haunted us in the sense that we kind of joked. We said after all these interviews, we always needed a shower and or a stiff drink, sometimes both.
The twists and turns, and as you mentioned earlier, it's just like, wait, what? What were some of the big things like that happened that you guys were just like, are you kidding me? Stephanie, what was one of yours?
You know, I think the great thing about this story, and I don't know if it would necessarily be called great, but I think one of the most interesting things would be that every time you feel like the story's over, there's another episode.
Right.
It's like you think that it can't possibly get any worse. And it does. So I would say one of the biggest things for me were the people that ended up going to jail for the crimes that were done at Edgewater Hospital in the 90s and how long they went. I think that it was kind of unfair after doing a lot of research and speaking to a lot of people. If you listen to the podcast, you'll form your own opinion, but I think that finding out who went to prison and for how long was probably one of the most interesting things. But like I mentioned, every time an episode ends, you're like, no way, this can't get any worse. And then it does. And there's another road this podcast takes.
Absolutely. That's Stephanie Young. Todd Ganz is with us as well. If the Walls Could Talk, the podcast about Chicago's Edgewater Hospital. Todd, how about you? What was one of the things that you said, like, no, this really happened?
What's odd is the first time someone told me about what happened at this hospital, that was my reaction. They told me, oh yeah, they were doing this and that. And my reaction was, there's no way this was happening at a Chicago hospital in the 90s on the north side. No way. This person's clearly making up stories. So I was in disbelief from day one. And the more we talked with people, and they not only confirmed, but then, you know, went further and said, oh, and then there was this. I think it wasn't until we had an interview with an FBI agent where nearly 20 years after this has happened, she was talking to us about what they had uncovered and said, just when you thought the news couldn't get any worse, it did. And then before you know it, she's crying, Stephanie's crying, and I'm crying on this call last summer during an interview. I mean, the nerves were still that raw for her. So wow. That stuck with me and probably will the rest of my life.
Wow. I'm going to read some from your information page about the podcast. Former employees, patients, FBI agents, lawyers, and urban explorers recount the tangled history of what happened when a group of bad apples took over a once prestigious hospital. Do you guys consider yourself urban explorers, Todd? Is that you guys? They're talking about you?
The urban explorers is what Stephanie wishes we were, which was for years this thing sat on our block, and she begged me, please, can we go in there and take pictures? And I said, absolutely not. Number one, I'm afraid I'll always get in trouble. Number two, as this thing kind of unfolded, I said, we would lose our credibility if we're breaking into this place and photographing it. We can talk to people who have, but that's not what we're going to do.
Was it easy to find these people, Steph?
Honestly, it was a lot easier than I expected. I found a lot of them on Reddit. I found a lot of them on Instagram. And I would just say, hey, I'm working on this podcast about Edgewater Hospital, and I've seen your photos. They're so cool. I'd love to speak with you about your experience. And they were the most helpful group of people. They shared their photos with me so that we could share them on the website and Instagram and Facebook. And anytime I had a question, like, hey, do you remember where the hyperbaric chamber was? I could just text one of them, and they'd be like, third floor.
Wow. Thank you so much, Todd Gantz, Stephanie Young. If the Walls Could Talk podcast. We're going to talk Chicago Dogs baseball next here at 720 WGN.